Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a really exciting guest for the show today, Brian Sirokoski. He is a three-time founder with multiple exits. He comes from a product background, leading all kinds of amazing technology products. He is today founder of ChangeBot.ai, which supercharges marketing teams by revolutionizing the way we communicate product updates to the very people who love what we build. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey man, thanks so much for having me. That's a great intro. Yeah. I was nodding along. I'm like, yeah,
I want to get ChangeBot, right? Yeah. Great. I'm really excited to talk about this because anyone who works in a career in technology, you understand that updates and releases, there's just a whole thing around it. So let's start there with just unpacking the problem itself of changes and updates and communicating it and so on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So myself, like probably every other tech founder in the world, like this, the reason why I'm building this company is because of the problems that I've had building my other companies. You find these like stumbling blocks along the way and it goes back into a vault and you're like, if I ever start another business, because it always seems like this is your last business and it never is. If I start another business, I'm going to solve this problem. And so I'll just give you some stories. So my first business was a password manager and we mostly serve pretty small businesses. And in retrospect, I wasn't really, the funny thing about your first business, you don't really know what you're doing at all. In retrospect, looking back, we had this kind of core contingency of marketing agencies and people like that, that were using our password manager to store the passwords for their clients. But occasionally we would have a big company come through. And for us at the time, that was like 200-300 employees was a pretty big customer for us. And pretty much without fail, they'd always be like, hey, are you guys like alive? Are you working on this thing? Like, what's going on? Are you keeping the product up to date? Is this abandonware? What's going on? And that always, as a founder, that kills you because you're not only are you working on it, you're working like 80 hours a week. You're working 100 hours a week. And so we ran into this issue where the product wasn't super suitable for, or the marketing presence, the kind of visibility of the product didn't actually represent how much work was actually going into the product from like a code perspective, from a change perspective. And I'll tell one more story and we can like actually maybe learn something, but the next kind of example is I was the CEO of a company called Bear Metrics, which is a SaaS analytics platform. It's where you go, you plug they have a lot of integrations, but the common one is Stripe, plug your Stripe in. And basically all of the reports that your investors or your CFO or whoever's asking you for like the numbers, the metrics around your business, you can go to Bear Metrics, plug your Stripe account in and just have that information ready to go in a couple of hours, depending on how much data you have. And so while I was the CEO there, we did a big price increase. We did like a 200% price increase, just probably too big. Honestly, we could talk more about that too. But the kind of immediate thing that happened as soon as we announced that price increase was people went to our announcements. They went to our change log. They went to our blog. They basically went to rationalize of, okay, I signed up 3 years ago. How is this product better to me than it was 3 years ago? Why is it worth double? Why does it cost double? Is that worth it to me? And again, this was another example of they found those updates wanting, and it wasn't a situation where we hadn't made changes. We had made like a ton of changes. We were incredibly busy. We had hired up a tech team and we like really sliced through. We had a bug backlog when we acquired the business. And so we like sliced through that. And it was really hard because it's all these like data. It's like, they're like very complicated problems to solve. And when you get down to the core of it, it's not doing that final step of we did all the work. We just didn't get credit for it. And how does that happen? And why does that happen? It's a lot of work to update customers and it's very cross-functional. So you get stuck in two ways. One, you're like, okay, we just fixed, I think we had, I'm probably like exaggerating, like the fish gets bigger every time you tell the story. I remember, I think we had 700 bugs in the backlog when I came into Bear Metrics. And so it's like, you fix a bug, Do we want to spend a couple of hours like communicating that and meeting internally and having the dev team meet with the marketing team? And do we want to put a real effort together and writing a great update to get to the customers? Or do you want the dev team to go and then solve the next bug? Okay, almost everybody chooses go and solve the next bug. It's like, okay, then, so the devs are out of the process. Is the marketing team equipped by themselves to speak to what change happened? And do they have the information that they need to communicate that to customers? And they don't, because again, it's like this cross-functional thing. So that monologue is like the big background of, we came upon this idea of how do we solve this problem? Version one was like a workflow, but then all this AI stuff started happening. And we came upon the idea of what if the changelog could just write itself? And then since then, we've learned a ton. In fact, we've almost entirely moved away from the title of changelog. Like changelog is, normal people don't know what changelogs are. Changelogs are for nerds. Like we've gotten that feedback emphatically. And we've really got into this realm of, oh, it's actually the problem in some ways much bigger. It's like a product communication problem. Even communicating internally. Some teams, once they grow sufficiently large, internal teams don't know what they're doing. So anyway, I'll take a break there. I'll take a sip of coffee and let you guide the conversation a little bit.
Well, yes, the thing is you've laid out multiple hugely important branches to the problem, and they really are huge. So just like the first one you mentioned, is this product alive? That's gigantic, because there are lots of software products in existence that just, is there a name for it? Where like zombieware, I don't know what the name would be.
Yeah.
Where they just exist, like a lot of companies you work at, the product that you use to enter your time might be some like terrible BS product bought a long time ago. It has all these stupid bugs that no one understands.
Never gonna get fixed, yeah.
Never gonna get fixed. Or my favorite is, the software that you use to expense your trips would always be horrible. There's no incentive to make it super easy for the company. So stuff like that is the product alive problem. That's huge, because I normally think of that as a marketing issue. And you're alluding to the point that you start off with changelog, but it's a bigger problem. Like you start off with the nerdy, objective, really hard problem, but it's, oh, wait a minute, this is actually more. But that is this product alive thing is so huge, because companies do everything they can to make sure that they're, if you're on top of your marketing, hey, we've been posting on our social media lately, and we have updated or have blogs or some kind of news on the website. And so that by itself is a gigantic problem. And then the thing about the price increase, where there's a human need to understand the world and rationalize the world. And if I've been paying $20 a month, but then now it's $54 a month, like what the hell happened? What am I getting twice as much because that happened? And where do I find that? So this all deals with this problem of how in the world do you communicate in a way that scales? It's one thing if you build a small product and you communicate, hey, we added this feature, but large organizations, lots of customers with different needs, that's an immense problem.
It's almost like, if you think about it, even now hearing you, even though I know the answer, like hearing you go through it, it really shouldn't be that hard, right? Because what we're saying is like our product doesn't help you do the work. If you're not actually improving the product, we're not for you. Maybe that's a future edition where we like can invent activity, but we don't really do that for you. And in fact, we're not even great for the people that were like, oh, we're like not sending any updates. We're not communicating with our customers at all. We just haven't prioritized that. That's also, and we're closer to helping you solve that. But what we've found is that if we're interacting with a company and they have no kind of customer communication process, they'll use ChangeBot. They'll be super excited. They'll get a bunch of updates. They'll get usually a bunch of great reactions back, but eventually they fall off because that's just not a part of their DNA. So we're really scoped into, okay, you are updating your product and you're making meaningful changes and you have some sort of marketing strategy. You've already identified that communicating with your customers is valuable, which again, it's like, we can sit here and be like, so doesn't everybody know that communicating with your customers is valuable? Yeah, we do, but go and look at the social media presence or look at the blog or look at kind of some of these outward facing signs of, I make this joke all the time. It's like when I talk to somebody that I'm trying to convince to buy our product, and like, do your customers get more updates or do they get more invoices? And almost all the time, like that invoice will show up if they're on a monthly plan, that invoice shows up at the same time. If they got billed on the 15th, they can count on that invoice being in their inbox on the 15th, but they can't count on the update showing up on the first of the month or whatever, the first Monday, it's like that'll show up late or whatever the case is. But anyway, so yeah, getting back on track, such that it is really thinking through, it's like, why is this problem so challenging? And recognizing first that it is a challenging problem. I think it comes back to that cross-functional nature of the problem of you want your developers to be working on the product. You want the product team talking to customers and getting new insights. You want the marketing team to be learning about what their customers want. And I always enjoy stepping back and like when you look at the situation that environment creates, you'll see that the product team is super busy. Like I've never met really a company where they're like, yeah, we just have like too many available dev hours. Like we have all these developers. We don't know what to do with them. We don't have any work for them to do. No, they always need more developers and they have too much for their existing team to do. And then you look over at the marketing team. And I think this is like something that's going to be changing pretty soon, but the marketing team feels like they are starved for context. And what that has done is that has led to the past playbook of top 10 things for target market. If you're selling to plumbers or whoever, top 10 tips for plumbers this summer. It's just like stuff that's like super, it had worked historically. It's this great top of funnel. It's this lead magnet stuff. But now with ChatGPT, that has become totally undifferentiated. You and I today, if we were wanting to create the competitive plumbing services tool, like we can go and write the first 50 blog posts now, matching exactly that same level of fidelity. And so there's like absolutely no differentiation. And so that was one of the other things that made me more interested in this problem is just seeing the trend of AI content. I don't even know what the right word is. It doesn't really democratize it. It just brings the level of everything down to a base level. And so really we're back to where we started, where it's like the only thing that you have going for you is your product. Like your product needs to be at the core of your messaging because that's going to be true. People are like false statement finding machines now, and it's got to be exciting and it's got to be like narrative as well. And you need to speak to the benefits that you're providing your customers. And so for me, if you spend any number of development hours fixing something or doing any sort of work in the product, you basically have all of the other characteristics figured out by default. Like you did it because it was impacting a customer or it's going to improve things. Or even if it's a guess saying, hey, like we added these notifications when a new record is added into your system because we know how important it is to you to follow up with customers quickly or whatever your product is. That is really, for me, that's the whole picture of what it is that we're looking to solve and to be able to solve that context issue for the other team. And that's how we started to learn that, like, it's more than just a changelog. It's really about communication internally and externally. Every founder like jumps to like solving the problem. Like you see the problem out here. You're like, I'm just going to solve that. And you don't recognize, once you start diving into it, there's 12 problems before you even get to that problem. And that's why it's so big. That's why it's such a big problem. It's if the marketing team has no idea what the development team's even doing or looking at or working on, like we can't solve this client facing, this customer facing side until we do that. Cause it's just like literally impossible. So we need to solve each of these problems incrementally to get your team on the same page about what's going on. I'm sure we've all had the experience where the development team launches something, the support team starts getting support tickets for this new feature that the support team had no idea was going live. Like it just happens all the time. And again, should be an easy problem, but these are the types of things that are happening that are a big issue within businesses.
So it sounds, Brian, like it's partly or largely a documentation problem, isn't it? Because when you think about any tech team, as a designer, I'm working with the tech team and there's the product managers and all the stuff, and you're constantly making decisions all the time. In every stand-up, there's constantly little pivots. There's tech debt being created because we like, we don't have time to do it that way. Can you just patch it up with it? We'll get back to it. And there's just inherently in modern software development, there's just a core documentation problem because who's going to do it? And can you have an AI bot automatically do it? Maybe not like completely automatically because it needs the context. Like someone needs to explain to it what happened. Unless you have we get to the point where you have the actual robot in the room with cameras and microphones everywhere and they're interpreting. But at the core, it does feel like it's a documentation problem that needs to be there. And then in order for your software to even work, it seems like there's that nugget that needs to be provided.
Yeah. The way that I think about it, and you even said it, it's all about context. And in some ways, there's like kind of different analogous roles of what our product does or who our product speaks to. There's like a product marketing component. There's like a product operations component. And so in some ways, I think it's useful, especially this is like advice for anybody who's thinking about building like an AI powered system, or I like to think of it as a product that uses AI as a part of what you do, instead of being like, it's just like a AI thing. I think it's just a more helpful frame to be like, we're going to build a product and there's going to be a specific part of this that AI is going to do. That context is the critical thing. So if you were to think, okay, if we want to solve this in the old way, the pre-ChangeBot way, we would hire perhaps one or many product marketing managers. And what would you do? What would you do to that person to bring them in? We were actually just talking about this before the call. How would you onboard them into your system, and how would you get them ramped up? You would need them to understand the business really well. And that includes things like, who are we? How long have we been around? What customers do we serve? Why do they choose us? What features and benefits do we provide to them? That would be a really important thing. And the other thing you would need to know is, okay, what's been the kind of evolution of the product, even from a code perspective? Like, what features have been added? What are the order? What is the rough progression? And oftentimes the actual, this kind of goes back to the communication part, but the actual like functionality of the product differs from what's on the marketing site. I remember listening to an interview. There was a product marketing person starting at Stripe, and she was given access to this document with, oh, here's 30 to 50 different like product improvements that we've done. We just never told anybody. We just have all these features that nobody knows about. And so learning that, and that's how we've approached it from a product perspective of, you need to have that context, because everything that we did prior to trying to understand a complete perspective of the company and a complete perspective of the product, and then pulling in as much about the market and everything else, our updates were terrible until we were able to do that. So I really think you said it dead on. It's a context issue of understanding what is happening. And the school of like sales and marketing that I came up with was always like, you have to explain why. What is the purpose? I think this is why changelogs have fallen out of our lexicon, because changelog is, you think about the app store or whatever, it's, oh, minor bug fixes and improvements, or we added this thing, added a button to this page. It's like, why? For what benefit? Like, why did we do that? Why did we go and spend probably $10,000 on our developers to go add a button to this page? Why do I as a customer care about that? And that's only possible through having that complete context. And so that is, exactly what you got into. I think that it is a context issue and it's a cross-functional issue, because you need to be technical enough to understand what's going on in the product, and you need to be product savvy enough to understand the market. You need to be a great writer to communicate that to customers, and you need to understand like what support work. It's like, you need to be that full functional person, or that you need to be that team as a person in order to get out the door, and you need to provide that team the context they need to do all that decision making. And again, this is why it's a hard problem to solve. And this is why, again, pulling back the layers of the onions, every business that's not updating their, not publishing a weekly update to their customers, they're not lazy. they're not slacking off. It's just actually like really hard to do. And only the companies that have made this a top level priority, like a Linear or GitHub, or there's somebody, Tally, they publish a weekly update. I spoke with somebody and they're like, oh yeah, they publish that every Friday. I look forward to that. It's the weird stuff that, obviously, coming from the CEO of a company that helps you publish updates, of course I would say that, but it was cool to hear somebody else in the world say that too.
What is the end users, like the, so there's your users who work for the product company, then there's the served users out there in the world. What's their experience like? Are they receiving updates via what, social media, blog posts, or how are they getting it?
Yeah, I like to promote like a tiered system, going back to like product marketing. I think it's really important that there is one place somewhere in the world, even if you don't really promote it, that includes almost like a play-by-play of all the stuff that you're doing. And that's like traditional changelog. And so we've built a version of that. We host it. Anytime someone publishes an update through our system, we can add it to that list. And a lot of our customers will just link to that page. But I think that's really useful. One, if you ever do a price increase, like if we had that in the bare metrics days, they would be like, oh, I signed up 3 years ago. What did I get? They wouldn't have the time to scroll back 3 years ago. Like we, for our business, as a startup, we've got like 150 or 200 updates since we launched a year ago. So it's like, you can make that case emphatically. And the other thing I really like that for is to have it somewhere in your marketing. Again, not something where you're even necessarily directly funneling traffic there, but have it be discoverable from like a new customer. So many people gate the product updates behind like a login page or something. They only tell their existing customers. But let's say you and I, we're going to go and buy a new tool, or let's say we're competitors and we have a customer that comes in and they go to my tool and they look at our updates and say, oh, wow, this company's published 13, 15 updates this month. They go to your tool and there hasn't been an update in 6 months. Before we even get into your tool's probably better than mine or whatever, but it's, so that's the basic tier. Like, I think you need to have one place that shows the drumbeat that doesn't need to be super written. You don't need to record a video for every one of these. For our business, like, you can't argue that we're not working on the product and solving that initial team password issue that I had. So that's level one. And then I think what you want to do is you want to start to like then elevate, and you get wider announcements, but less frequent. And so we just released a new feature called recaps, and that allows you to do roll-ups over any period of time. And so one thing that's been really popular there is you can do a weekly recap and publish that to your blog and highlight that on social media, or you can do monthly as well. I really like it for monthly because it's very funny. I'm running the updates company, and it's, oh, we have a email newsletter form on our website. When's the last time I've sent an email there? It's,
the shoemaker's kids have no shoes.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, hey, okay, we're a very small team. How do we build our product such that we, as a small team, can get an update out to that at the beginning of every month? And so that's recap. So I can do a monthly recap. I can add a little bit of an intro and includes the major new features and the updates and improvements and bug fixes. And then I can do a little sign off at the bottom. And so in 15 minutes, I can get that update out the door and then I can publish that to the blog and things like that. And so I would say that's like the top end of doing an email push to all of your customers is something I would recommend doing less frequently and doing more of a roll up. And so that is the experience of going through. And maybe there's even a tier above that of, hey, if you're doing a major launch or something big, or if you're doing like a conference or something, like that's tier four, way up at the top of, that's when we're doing videos and we're doing customer interviews. And that's when we're going like super hardcore. And then of course, if you do that, then you're literally saturating every channel. You're doing a blog and you're doing multiple blog posts. You're doing multiple emails. You're doing social on it once a week for the next year. You're doing in-app push. You're doing all that sort of stuff. But that's what I recommend, is have the drumbeat somewhere. And then use recaps if like at a light level, do a weekly recap on social. It'll be really, really great. Works really well on LinkedIn. And you can publish that to your blog as well. And then do your monthly update. If you can do that, you're ahead of, I don't know the actual stats. I want to make clear that this is like a fake stat, but you're ahead of 95% of businesses. If you're documenting all of your improvements plus weekly update on social plus monthly newsletter, you're so far ahead of the pack at that point.
Oh, this is really an amazing product. I'm browsing your website as you're talking about this stuff. Like, this is something I work with a lot of founders. Definitely tell folks to look into this and check it out. And for the audience, where do folks go? We've been talking to Brian Koski and of changebot.ai. That's where people get started. And is it fully self-serve yet? Is it fully, you just buy it online and the journey is completely taken care of for them?
Yeah, we've built the product to be self-serve, but if you can't tell, I love talking about this stuff. So it's not a self-serve for the purpose that you can't talk to anybody. I'm always happy to talk to people. And in fact, I think a lot of like the most high leverage conversations that we have are more strategic. And people say, okay, cool. Like, I heard you on the podcast and you said, oh, weekly update. What does that mean for us? And one of the great benefits about me, I don't know if this is a benefit necessarily, but I have opinions about what you should be doing. And I've got a lot of experience in the space. So I'm always happy to. I'm also, one of the things I do, I'm also the entrepreneur in residence here in San Antonio. We have a kind of co-working/accelerator called Geekdom. I'm talking to new founders all the time. And it's like the most fun thing that I do and the most kind of energizing thing that I do. And so I'm always happy to bring that same energy. I'm thrilled to sell you software. I would be happy doing that. But if I can also help add value to your business and help you, if you feel like this is a blocker and you're even with the software, if you're not sure where to start, I'm always happy to chat. hopefully we have some call outs on the website. But if you start a trial, I will be in touch with you. So that's like maybe the easiest way to get in touch with me. Sign up for a trial, connect your GitHub account, and we'll start writing some updates. And then you'll hear from me pretty shortly after that.
This is really exciting. We'll definitely keep an eye on this company as you guys continue to grow over the years and maybe have you back on in the future. But this is terrific. Brian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.